Good to see everybody. Happy Sunday. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord together? Come on, clap your hands. Let's give Jesus some praise. Come on, give Jesus some praise. He's worthy. He is great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Hey, at all of our locations and everybody joining us online, I want to welcome you. My name is Travis. I'm one of the pastors on our leadership team, and it's an honor to come here and preach to you God's word. We got a great day in store. We're ending our series entitled, We Need to Talk. I can't believe it's been 11 weeks. Anybody feel like, man, that's been a quick 11 weeks? Yeah, some of you are like, nope, I'm ready for the next series. Come on now. We start a new series next week. Our pastor, my senior pastor, Miles McPherson, will be back with us kicking off a brand new series. It will be entitled Eyes to See. And it's all about that God has given us spiritual eyes, not just physical eyes, but spiritual eyes to see all that happens spiritually. There's a spiritual war out there, if you didn't know. There's tension in the world. You can probably just see it. But so much of the spiritual stuff we go through is unseen. The demonic, the devil, his demons, his attacks, his assignments. And then there's also some stuff that just right in front of you. If you watched any part of the Olympic opening ceremony this past week, I mean, it was rough. It's just right in front of you. There's a spiritual war going on. It's the devil's offensive. He doesn't like Christians. He doesn't like you. He doesn't like you. If you're for God, he doesn't like you. And so we got to be prayed up. We got to be in God's word. We got to lean into the spiritual things and believe that God has given us, come on, spiritual eyes to see the way that God has called us to see. Can't wait to hear that from our pastor next week, and it'll be 6 weeks, so bring somebody with you. Take lots of notes. Today, I'm going to end our series on the second part of the topic of forgiveness. Everybody say forgiveness. Forgiveness. It's a good one. A lot of people have a lot to say about forgiveness, and I'm going to be speaking to you from the message title, Bury the Hatchet. Bury the Hatchet. I believe somebody today is going to make the decision to bury the hatchet. Maybe you forgive yourself, or maybe you forgive somebody else, but I believe there's breakthrough at the foot of the cross in Jesus' name. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this day. It's your day. We honor you. We've come to offer you our time, our talents, our treasures. We brought our families to church today, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us through your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Someone shout amen. 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 How many of you have seen a man on the street video, maybe on a late night talk show where they go out and they interview people on the street randomly and they ask them questions? Anybody seen some of those man on the street videos? We did one as a team last year on the topic of forgiveness. I thought it was great. So I wanted to show you this video again. We asked random people, what do you think of when you think about the topic of forgiveness?
Well, hey, what's going on, Rock Church fam? Pastor Nate here along with Pastor Becky. We are here on the beautiful streets of San Diego, and we are in our series, We Need to Talk, and we're talking all about forgiveness. Come on now. So what we wanted to do is actually get out here along the beautiful beaches of San Diego and ask people what they think about forgiveness and get their wisdom and insight. So hey, let's go.
Can any of you define forgiveness?
I think forgiving, it's like understanding that everyone can commit a mistake.
I'd say forgiveness is someone doing something wrong and maybe like forgiving them, like telling them it's all right.
It's just say, Jesus, take over this issue that I'm having.
Is there something that someone does that you could maybe never forgive?
It wouldn't be my personal experience, but I feel like anyone who does something to a child, that's like unforgivable.
Is it possible to forgive and forget?
It's harder.
It's harder.
Yeah.
Why?
Because you don't want to expose yourself to pain.
If it's something very small, you can obviously forget.
I feel like it's more healthy to forgive and forget. Just, I mean, you'll never really forget it, but just to not let, like, don't bring up the past.
You know, we're taught by God that you got to forgive and sometimes forget. You know, things are happening in the past and you got to look forward in life, right?
A lot of opinions about forgiveness. Love that question that they asked. Is there anything too big that you can't forgive? And you got some different answers there. I love the one guy. Can you describe forgiveness? It's when you forgive somebody. You know, it's just great. It's perfect, man. But I get it. It's like, how do you describe it? A lot of people got something to say about it. And I bet if I asked you or you asked the person next to you, they'd have something to say about it too, because y'all been through some stuff, haven't you? And if you haven't been through some stuff, the person next to you has been through some stuff. Maybe your friend who you thought was your friend backstabbed you, turned their back on you, wronged you. Maybe a spouse cheated on you. Maybe you know someone, that's their testimony. Maybe someone that was supposed to love you completely abandoned you when you need them the most. We go through some stuff. It's a hard topic and it's sensitive. And so I brought a few quotes of some people you may know that have something to say about forgiveness. This first one is from C.S. Lewis. He says, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God forgave the inexcusable in you. Forgiveness is a strange thing. It can sometimes be easier to forgive our enemies than our friends. It can be hardest of all to forgive the people we love. And that's from Mr. Fred Rogers, a.k.a. Mr. Rogers himself. This one says, we must develop and maintain the capacity to forgive. He who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love. That's Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Come on. And this last one, mistakes are always forgivable if one has the courage to admit it, and that is the great theologian Bruce Lee. Lots of opinions, lots of things people can say about forgiveness. And so how do we describe it as a follower of Jesus, as a Christian? How will we describe it to people? And so I want to kind of break it down quickly. Here's what forgiveness is not. Here's what it is. So first, here's what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not fair. It's not fair. It's if you forgive, then I'll forgive. It doesn't work that way. Forgiveness is not easy. Forgiveness is actually very difficult. Even as great Christians or the most holiest people, it's very difficult. It can be one of the most excruciating things someone ever asks you to do is forgive them. It's very hard. It's not easy. Forgiveness is not excusing. What do I mean by that? I mean, it wasn't that bad. They didn't really mean to do it. You don't need to excuse it away. You can let it be what it actually was. It hurts you. You actually hurt them. Forgiveness is not forgetting. I'm just going to not think about it, and over enough time, I'm just going to forget, and hopefully they forget. Forgiveness doesn't work that way either. Forgiveness is not foregoing. What do I mean? I mean, I didn't get the justice that I thought I was going to get, and so you know what? I'm going to give up on hope for that whole thing to be healed. No, it doesn't work that way either, and forgiveness is not necessarily reconciliation. Just because you forgive, things shouldn't always go back to normal. And somebody with past relationships, you know this. Just because you forgave them doesn't mean that you need them to be back in their life. Come on, can I get an amen? It's like, now I got some boundaries now, okay? Like, I forgive you, boo, and you, but don't come near. We got boundaries now. We don't need to hang out anymore. But I can forgive you. I love you in Christ. I don't like you in Travis. I forgive you. Forgiveness is not a lot of stuff, but here's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is giving others what Jesus has given you. And maybe you're new to church, you're one of our campuses, and you're like, I barely can put a Bible together. I don't even know what the verses are. And it's just, you know, what are we gonna be reading today? Matthew 18, .20, what is the .? I don't even know how to open the Bible. Jesus has given us forgiveness. He gave us the gospel. He gave us love. He gave us mercy. And forgiveness is just giving to others what we've already been given. Forgiveness is forsaking my right to hurt you back. I just want to hurt you. I want revenge. I want to see them fall the way that they laughed at me and watched me fall. I want to hurt them in the same way that they hurt me. Forgiveness is forsaking my right to hurt them back. I lay down revenge. Forgiveness is a gift that can't be earned. It's not like trust. Often in relationships, we say trust is lost in buckets and you get it back in drops. You gotta earn it back. But forgiveness doesn't work that way. Forgiveness is a gift. You can't earn a gift. It's a gift that can't be earned. Forgiveness is a promise before it's a feeling. Because I know you didn't feel like forgiving that person, but you made the decision to do it. It's a promise before it's a feeling. I don't feel it, I choose it. And last thing, forgiveness is as much for you as it is for them. It's for them, it is. It's also for me. It's also for you. It's for them and it's for you because you want to let go of the poison of anxiety. You want to let go of the poison that's killing you, of the chatter in your brain and the bitterness that's growing in your spirit. And some of you went through something 5 years ago, 3 years ago, last year, a month ago. They're not even thinking about you, but every night you're up having a Jerry Springer blowout in your mind. I'm a bop, 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 I'm a gum, and they have no idea. And so forgiveness is for them, but it's also for you. Here's what I discovered. People really struggle to forgive. People are struggling to forgive. Christians, and a lot of times I think I wrote down a few things why I think people struggle. I think it's because we haven't forgiven ourselves. If I haven't forgiven me, I'm definitely not forgiving you. I haven't learned to forgive myself of what I've done and what I've gone through. Sometimes people just don't know how to forgive because they minimize their sin while they exaggerate the sins of others. You don't have a clear picture of your own sin, your own ratchetness. You can't see it. You just minimize your sin, and then you just blow out everybody else's. I can't forgive that. Look how dark it is. Look how dark it is in here. I think people struggle to forgive because we don't understand fully what Jesus has done, the gospel, as we said, his love, his mercy. Even knowing what it's not, and even knowing what it is, and even knowing why we struggle, I think it's not enough for people to choose it. We need to know why. I think that's a big part of decision making. I need to know why. Why do you want me to forgive? I get what it is and what it's not, but I need to know why. Why is it so important? Recently, my wife and I, we traveled to Indianapolis, and we were there visiting a friend, and they took us to a restaurant called Divvy. And it was called Divvy because they would divvy up the little samples of food, the little portions, and it came out on these food boards. And on the food boards, it was a bunch of beautiful food that I had never seen before. I didn't recognize any of it. Very colorful, and it was just different names. And how many are self-proclaimed foodies? Anybody? Right? You're a foodie? You just love to experiment at every meal, right? You just love an experiment. Why would you do that? I want, if it was good last time, come on, somebody, I want it good this time. Like, you want to try something different? No, I want it to be good again. I don't want no surprises for me, please. They brought out this. I couldn't even. The guy was like, "No, it's going to be great. You should try it." And it's just a basil brioche with a herb jam and a basil. I'm like, bro, if I can't pronounce it, should I be eating it? You know what I mean? Why would I have that? I don't understand it. And I think understanding the why behind the decision making process is probably some of the most important parts of it. If you prayed for that job, you better know why you prayed for it, because eventually that job will be hard. And when it gets tough, you have to remember why I prayed for it. If you pray for the spouse and you get married people went to the marriage getaway last week, you better remember why I asked for that spouse, because eventually it's gonna take some work. Our parents, if you prayed, "Oh Lord, we can't have kids. God, give us kids," and then God blessed you with children, you have to remember why you prayed to get pregnant, because those small little children grow up and they have opinions and they got attitudes and they start saying stuff. And I'm like, man, that's from your side of the family. No, that's from your side of the family. It's not my side. They grow up. So I want to help build faith in the room and help us understand why we should choose to forgive and bury the hatchet. If you got your Bibles with you, would you turn to Matthew chapter 18? Matthew chapter 18, I'm gonna start in verse 23. I'll read through verses 35. And Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. And I'm gonna read from the NLT translation today. And it's the parable of the unforgiving servant. And if you're wondering what a parable is, a parable is just a small story with a huge meaning. A little story that Jesus would use to teach his disciples and teach people, but it has a huge impact, big meaning. So Matthew 18, verse 23, it starts like this. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars." How much did he owe? Millions of dollars. "He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, 'Please, oh please, be patient with me. I will pay it all.' Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt." And so just take a break here. The servant has a great debt, millions. And some of your translations in your Bibles may say gold, or others may say 10,000 talents. And what's a talent? It was a measurement of how much work could be done in a year. And so this servant basically owes a lifetime of money to the king. And I love the king, because the king doesn't negotiate. When the servant says, "Please, please," the king doesn't say, "Well, if you just give me this," and he doesn't put him on the Dave Ramsey debt snowball plan. He doesn't do that. "Let's just work on this little piece here, and then we'll take that payment. We're gonna put on this one, and eventually you'll pay me back in time." No, he just, I wanna, "Because you asked, I'm gonna forgive the whole debt." I want you to find yourself in the story here, because who's the king? It's Jesus. And who's the servant? You and I. And you and I have racked up this unpayable, insurmountable debt called sin. And the gospel comes in and God takes on our sin to the cross, pays for it. And because we ask by faith, he forgives it. Aren't you glad you got a savior that forgives sin when you ask for it? Come on, aren't you glad you woke up today and you have the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God? Because we asked for it. We're gonna find ourselves in this story. And it keeps going in verse 28 and it says, but when the man left the king, just forgiven by the way, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand. So he was forgiven of what? And then his friend owes him what? Forgiven of millions, don't forget that. He goes and finds a guy that owes him thousands. He grabbed him by the throat. Are you serious, bro? He grabs him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him in the same way that he did and begged for a little more time. And he says, be patient with me. I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and he put him in prison until the debt could be paid in full. Kind of crazy that this guy is literally just been forgiven of the same offense of unpaid debt. I tried to put this in perspective for you. And so if you take $1,000 times 1,000, you get a million. 1,000 times 1,000 is a million. So I want to put it in kind of maybe more realistic terms for us. If you take a dime and you multiply this dime by 1,000, you get $100. I put it in contrast for you. And so if I were to give you $100 and I said, hey, I want you to take this $100, you want to come up and grab this? No, she's sitting with daddy. That's fine. Here we go. You can come. She's like, I'll take the $100. You want me to come up? What's your name?
Gigi,
how you doing, Gigi? I'm Travis. Nice to meet you. Look at those nails. Those are nice nails. Okay. If I gave you this $100 and Gigi says, hey, can I borrow $100? You can take it. You can hold it. Okay. And then Gigi go, but just don't get used to it. I just want to make sure you're holding it. Okay, Gigi, you can hold it. And I said, Gigi, you need $100. You can have $100. And Gigi has it for all the service. Then she takes it home with her. Maybe she spends it. And she's in more debt. And then it's been a week, it's been 2 weeks, it's been a month. And she keeps telling me, I'm going to get it back to you. After a year, I come up, hey, Gigi, I've been trying to get my debts collected. The $100 that you borrowed from me, do you have it? She says, no. And I go, you know what? I'm going to call the credit collection company. And she goes, no, please, please, give me some more time. If you just have mercy on me. And I say, you know what, Gigi, I like you. You know what, you can keep it. You can keep the debt. It's yours. Don't worry about it. And then Gigi says, hey, praise God, let's go. And then Gigi looks over at her neighbor who owes her a dime. And you run over there, Gigi, to your neighbor and you start choking her out. Girl, if you don't give me that dime, I'm a messy web. Give me that dime. Ah, she's just choking. But you got the $100 in your pocket. I forgave you. That's what Jesus is trying to illustrate. You and I have been given so much grace and mercy and forgiveness. We can't pay back our sin. Lord, forgive us. And he goes, you're forgiven. Then we go to the next person. I'm about to choke you out because what you did to me, I'm about to mess him up. That's the illustration. Come on, clap your hands for Gigi. Thank you. Should have given it to her, huh? Come on, Gigi. Come on, Gigi. Come on, Gigi. Come on. Come on. He look at it. He's like, would you ask me for, I was the first one. Come on, Gigi. Get your $100. There you go. Come on, clap your hands. And a dime. Don't forget it. Come on. What you didn't see is I looked at Vanessa. I was like, should we give it? Should we do good? Gas is expensive. I don't know. I didn't. God is so good. He's so good and he forgives us and he blesses us. The servant is ridiculously unfair. He's a clown. He's received a blessing. Then he goes and chokes out his friend. And look what happens next in the story in verse 31. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They were witnessing this man. They went to the king and they told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? I showed you how to do it. Verse 34, then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my, pay attention, don't miss, this is Jesus, pay attention. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you If you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Oh, man. Oh, my goodness. Forgiveness is serious business in the kingdom of God. What a wild story. The guy's in trouble. He owes his whole life to the king. Asks for mercy. He's given mercy. Only to completely miss his opportunity to show forgiveness and choose forgiveness to the person next to him. Don't raise your hand to this next statement, but I wonder how many of us have done that before. Received a blessing from God only to turn around and be a burden to somebody else. I want his blessing, but I'm still bitter and I'm still gonna be your burden. We've all been guilty of that. So I wanna build faith in the room today to encourage us to bury the hatchet and to choose forgiveness. If you're taking notes, here's my first point. Number one, I forgive because Jesus commands it. That's number one. Why do we choose it? It's so hard. Why should I, Travis? Well, one of the reasons we do and I can forgive is because Jesus commands us to. He told a whole story on it, but then in Luke 17, verse 3, he says, so watch yourselves. I like how that starts out. Watch yourself. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must what? Forgive them. I can't unread that verse. Matthew 18, 21 says, then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? It's like they've heard this before and they're looking for a real number. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Jesus knows their heart and he knows what they're doing. They're trying to get a number. Okay, how many times can she mess up before I start not forgiving and being the way I really want to be? And Jesus says, I see your heart, so I'm just going to tell you 70 times 7. 490, I just over and over again. It's just over and over. My son Levi, when he cleans his room, I said, Levi, clean your room. And he likes to negotiate. He goes, Dad, how many toys? I said, Levi, all of them. And he goes, okay, I'll do 10, you do 10. I said, this is not my problem. And he says, okay, here's what we'll do. I'll do 5 minutes. Alexa, 5 minute timer. You know how we do the timer sometimes. I said, Levi, these are your toys. You gotta do it. I need you. And sometimes I have to come with the, I need you to do it. Well, why? Why? Because I said so. You have never seen a boy get so tired. Oh, Dad, I'm just so tired right now, Dad. I just, all of a sudden, it just hit me. I'm just tired, Dad. I just wanna lay down. I just wanna lay down, Dad. I can't do it. I can't do it. You've never seen him get so tired when he's got to clean his room. But sometimes I need you to, why? Because I said so. And you and I have all the reasons in the world why we shouldn't forgive people. Travis, if you knew the full story, you'd understand why I haven't forgiven them. If you knew the depth of the pain and how bad she and how bad he and how they said this over and over, then you would know I got some valid reasons not to forgive. But at the end of the day, one of the biggest reasons we forgive isn't because we feel it, it's because Jesus commands it. And the life of a Christian isn't just believing in Jesus, it's actually living a life like Jesus. And to love God, out of the love for him, if you love him, flows this obedient life. I love him so much, therefore I'm gonna obey him and do what he says. So why do we forgive? We forgive because Jesus commands it. Here's number two. I forgive because it's a step towards healing. One of the reasons I forgive and I want to forgive and I'm going to choose it today and bury the hatchet is because it's a step towards healing. In James 5 verse 16 in the Message paraphrase translation, it says, make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. And so the scriptures are saying, go and confess your faults to each other. So I messed up. You know what? Me too. I forgive you and I forgive you. Is the relationship all better? No, but it's a step towards healing. I took a step. Hebrews 12, 14 to 15 says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. It's saying if you don't forgive, bitterness begins to grow. If you don't forgive, there's a root called bitterness, unforgiveness, that begins to grow and take life in your spirit. And the opposite of healing is sickness and brokenness. We got to take a step. We had a pastor's prayer time several years ago with a group of pastors from our church. And one of the guys that was there, he walked in the morning and one of his eyes was sticking out further than the other. And it was abnormal for him and it was painful and pressure and it was noticeable. We all saw it. And we thought, man, are you doing okay? He goes, no, it hurts. I don't know what's going on. And so we sat him down. We're in pastor's prayer. We should pray. And so we laid hands on him and did everything we're supposed to do. And we prayed and nothing happened. And then one of the pastors was wise enough to ask him, pulled him aside. Hey, listen, let me ask you a question. Is there any unforgiveness that you've been wrestling with in your heart? And the pastor says, you know what? There is. I've been struggling with my dad, my father, who was never there when I needed him growing up. And it's something that's always been kind of eating away at me. But recently I saw him and the whole thing kind of just spun out and it's wrecking me. And so he pulled him aside and we began to pray for forgiveness. And in that moment, he said, Lord, I just want to pray forgiveness for my father. And would you believe that the eye went back into his face? It's a real miracle. I saw it. I saw God do something incredible that day. I couldn't believe it. But what I noticed is that he didn't feel better until he began to forgive. You see, he took a step towards healing the moment he took a step towards forgiveness. And he didn't feel it. It's a promise before, it's a feeling, it's a decision. See, our decisions lead, your feelings follow. And he took a step. Why do we forgive? Well, we forgive because it's a step towards healing. It's a process. And so number one, we forgive because Jesus commands it. Number two, we forgive because it's a step towards healing. Here's the third reason we forgive. I forgive because it releases a blessing. It releases a blessing. In Mark 11, verse 24, the scriptures say, I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first, forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Woo! And so the scriptures tell us that God would love to answer that prayer for that house you've been praying for. And he'd love to answer that prayer for that spouse that you've been praying for. And he'd love to give you the breakthrough that you absolutely desperately need to have. But then he says, but wait a minute. Did you forgive your sister? Did you go speak to your coworker? Because before this prayer is answered, I see the prayer, I hear the prayer, I can't receive the prayer and give it back because there's someone you need to go forgive. I'll say it to you this way in Matthew 5, 23. It says, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, that's your worship, and there as you're worshiping, remember that your brother or sister has something against you. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Thank you for coming to church today. Thank you for volunteering. Thank you for coming on time. But did you reconcile with your brother? Is there somebody that you need to pick up the phone and call and say, you know what, we haven't talked in a while, but this is on my heart. I was worshiping God, but then I read Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, and it says, if I'm there at the altar, if I came to worship, and there's somebody I haven't reconciled with, God says, stop. Come back when you've forgiven them. Come back when you've reconciled. At least come back when you've attempted to reconcile the relationship. Apologize, forgive them, then you can come sing in the choir. Come on, somebody. We forgive because it releases a two-way blessing, a blessing to you of answered prayers, and then a blessing to God where he receives the worship and the glory. Here's the fourth thing, my last point. Why we would choose to forgive. Well, those were all good reasons, but this is the most important one. I forgive because we've been forgiven. If there's anything else today that you get this one. I forgive, you forgive, we forgive because we've been forgiven. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 says, get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So as a follower of Jesus, forgiveness doesn't just come to us, As a follower of Jesus, forgiveness flows through us. Not just to us, but through us. Colossians 3:12, it reads, since God chose you, Rock Church, to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness and patience. And I want you to make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. We forgive because we've been forgiven. We've literally been given the faith to forgive. I read this story recently, and it just really blew me away. The story where we get that centuries-old saying, bury the hatchet. And it comes from Native American tribes that were at war with each other and were angry with each other and fighting each other until they just had nothing left. And they finally decided, we just need to stop and quit. And let's just save the lives of the people we love. I hate you and I hate you, but it's not worth it anymore. And so they would take their weapons and they would bury them. They'd bury the hatchet. And on some occasions they'd take the hatchet that they had used to inflict harm and pain, and they'd bury the pieces in different places so that they wouldn't be tempted the next time they thought about the unforgiveness and the hate and the rage and go dig it up and bring it back to hurt them again. And so what's the hatchet? This is my pain and the revenge that I want to give you and you deserve. But I'm going to bury it today because Jesus has forgiven me. I've been forgiven so that I can forgive. But as a follower of Jesus, you know what? Look up here. I don't want you to miss it. We don't bury this in minimizing their sin. We don't bury this in pretending that it didn't happen. We don't bury this in the alcohol addiction that masks all the pain. We don't bury this anywhere else except the foot of the cross. The place where we know that I received my forgiveness, where it reminds me that you and I have been forgiven so that we can forgive others. And so I can bury it here, and I can bury it here, and I can bury it here. And I won't be tempted to come back and dig it up again because I've made the decision to bury the hatchet. And so if you came today to church looking for a reason to forgive, forgive because Jesus commands it. For some people, that's enough. For others, you need to be reminded that forgiveness is a step towards healing and you desperately want that relationship healed. For some, you just need to be reminded that God wants you to worship him, but before you do that, before that blessing and prayers can be answered, you've been hitting the wall. I don't know why I haven't gotten that breakthrough. Go reconcile. But most importantly, we forgive because we've been forgiven. Christians, followers of Jesus, should be the most forgiving people because you and I are the most forgiven people. You've received the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I want to challenge you today, all of our locations, wherever you are, to bury the hatchet with somebody. And maybe you're going to bury the hatchet with yourself because the unforgiveness that you hold is towards you because of what you did to your spouse, because of what you did to your kids, because of what you did to the Lord. Someone needs to forgive God. And he doesn't need it, but maybe you're angry at him and you just need to say that today. Lord, this is going to help me. I know you love me and I've just been holding this against you. I just release it today. And for others, you need to receive that forgiveness from Jesus. He forgives your sins. So wiping it away, cleansing your heart. And lastly, there's somebody that needs to call somebody today. And you've been thinking about them this whole message. Maybe they're at home. Maybe they're with you. Maybe they're a friend, a neighbor, someone you haven't spoke to in 10 years, call them and say, hey, I heard God's word today and I've been forgiven. And maybe you don't need this, but I just want to tell you, I forgive you. Let's bury the hatchet. Let you bow your heads, let's pray. Jesus, thank you today. This is your day. Thank you for your scriptures. Thank you for Matthew chapter 18 and the parable that you told over 2,000 years ago that's still preaching to us today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your gospel. Thank you, Jesus, that we have all been forgiven. God, you love the world so much, you gave your one and only son. You sent him down to live the life that we were supposed to live, all so that he could go and die the death for our sins, the death that we were supposed to die. And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead and he proved that he's your son. And he proved that he has the power then to forgive us of our sin. And he offers us everlasting life. And one day we'll be with you in glory. And so we thank you for that, Lord. There's someone here today that needs to receive that for the first time. If that's you, if you need to receive that forgiveness of yourself, I want you to pray this prayer in the quiet of your heart. Just pray, dear God, I admit that I've sinned. I admit that I need forgiveness. I thank you for living for me. I thank you for dying for me. And I thank you for loving me, even in my sin. I believe that you're the Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, risen Savior. Come into my life. Give me a new heart. Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, fill me right now. Make me brand new. As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, if you pray that prayer today to receive that forgiveness, to experience the forgiveness that we get from Jesus at the foot of his cross, all of our locations, those watching online, and in a minute I'm going to count to three. I just want you to shoot your hand up so I can see you. I'd love to pray for you and speak a blessing over your life. You prayed that prayer on the count of three. Lift your hand up nice and high. One, two, three. Hands going up. Come on, put them up, put them up, put them up. Awesome. Keep them up. God bless you. God bless you. That's great. I see you. Awesome. God bless you all across the room. That's great. I see you in the back. See you up there. See you in the front. Awesome. Put your hands down. Lord Jesus, thank you for every single person, every hand, every spirit, every soul that said, yes, Jesus, we need your forgiveness. Holy Spirit, fill them fresh right now. From the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, give them a new life, new mind, new vision, new purpose. We receive your forgiveness right now. Thank you, Lord, for dying for us, for loving us, even when we were unlovable. May we leave today saying, I'm gonna bury the hatchet on unforgiveness. Lord, we should be the most forgiving people because we are the most forgiven people. And so we say thank you that you've loved us that much. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen, let's give Jesus some praise. Hallelujah. Amen.